Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, we feel your spirit here. We feel you, God. We love you. We know that you hold us, you create us, and you continue to cherish us as we live into your calling in this world. Amen. All right. Look at these shoes. I am super excited about these shoes, which is like basically what I say every morning when I'm getting dressed. Look at my shoes. I'm so excited. Okay, I've got two words for you, and that is bedazzled Converse. So whoever brought those is super smart to bring them so small that they wouldn't fit on my feet. All right. Seriously, we are blessed with these shoes. We are blessed to be a family of faith in which you hear a message, we hear a message that someone is in need. And here we are, meeting that need. For those who don't know the story of the shoes, last week I told a little story about Sister Henrietta, who is one of our food pantry volunteers, and she is Muslim. She is fasting during Ramadan and serving food while fasting, and she shared with me quite an inspiring story of her faith. And these shoes are for people that her community is taking care of, mostly refugees who need very basic things. And just like how we in our church serve everyone, no matter who they are, they don't have any kind of requirement of being Muslim or of any other faith. This is just young people, kids, teenagers who are being taken care of. And I love you all for this. We know how to do community. We are pretty good at community, right? I mean, you know, there's that like cheesy saying that Metropolitan Community Church, community is our middle name. We've got this. We know community. And here we are in Pride Month. Pride Month is when we celebrate community. We celebrate who we are, where we came from. And we carry a lot with us in Pride Month. After 2016, Pride Month, really, I don't think we'll ever be the same. We lived through the Pulse tragedy, and life changed forever, and that happened during Pride Month. So here we are together figuring out how to do this thing called community, and we celebrate. And we have parades, and we have who we are, how we are formed. We are bruised. Sometimes we feel broken, and yet we come together as community. And we have some good role models on how to do community. We've got this, like, all these stories from the early church. Today we heard from 2 Corinthians. So let me give you a little context of what Paul, the writer of 2 Corinthians, what he was, where he was coming from and what he spoke, what he wrote. So here's an interesting thing about Paul. Paul kind of has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, despite the fact that, of course, at this time he didn't know this, but most of what we read, aside from the Gospels and the New Testament, the majority of it is written by this guy called Paul. And yet Paul never met Jesus. Paul encountered the risen Christ, but Paul never met Jesus when he was living and walking amongst us. So Paul goes out, and at first he was persecuting the Christians, and then he had this conversion experience, and then he's going and he's preaching to people, and some of whom actually did know Jesus. So I would imagine that it is a little bit intimidating to be sharing the truth of Jesus with folks who met Jesus and know that you didn't, right? So here he is, kind of defending his own role. Also, though, pointing out that it doesn't matter where the message comes from as long as the truth is known. Paul talks about this light that is kept in jars of clay, in clay jars, earthenware containers of some type. And it's one of those phrases that we hear and we don't really think about what that means. So to put it in our context today, like, you know, if you decide you want to make a dish and, like, bring it to church or bring it to a friend, and you're not, like, totally sure you're going to get the container back, right? So you don't use the Pyrex dish with the rubber lid on it that, like, cost $8 or whatever. You're going to, like, use the kind of throwaway plastic. Although I will say that this congregation is awesome at giving me back my plasticware. But no one who from outside of this church ever gives those things back. So, good job. But you know what I'm talking about. There are these kind of like plastic things, like you kind of don't even want to put in the dishwasher because it might melt. All right? That's what we're talking about here. They're talking about like these clay jars. They, you know, they crack. You don't repair them. You just throw them out. They're not meant to last. They're not pretty to look at. They serve a function. And inside those clay jars is the light of God. It's a metaphor. The clay jars are us, are the people sharing this light. It doesn't matter that we are ephemeral, just like those clay jars that will fall apart or the plasticware that we don't want to put in the dishwasher because it'll melt. We exist right now, and we are easily broken and damaged, and human life is finite. But the truth and the love and the light of God is infinite. And we carry that light in us. We are, as I said, as we celebrate Pride, we are more aware over the last couple years about the fragility of life. Now, of course, this is not a new message, especially in our community, where so much of who we are as people, even people who grew up after the highest crisis of the AIDS years. I've never liked the phrase the AIDS years because it makes it sound like AIDS is done. But there was a time, as you all are well aware, when people were dying so rapidly. And once again, we in our community, the LGBT community in particular, the metropolitan community churches as well, we're so aware of the fragility of life, the ephemerality, the fleeting nature of who we are in this physical body, and yet the truth of God continues to be carried through our communities, even in times of loss, especially in times of loss. So when we think about Pulse, the thing that I kept hearing was afterwards were accounts of people who survived, accounts from friends of those who did not survive, that said Pulse was a sanctuary. And that is so true. That is the reason why many MCC churches started in bars. In the early days of MCC, more churches happened in bars than anywhere else. Because we know that the places where we are allowed, the places where we find safety, are sacred. And a lot of times, these places called church with the stained glass windows and the smiling faces on Sunday mornings are not the places where we feel safe. And especially on Latin night, where dance, moving one's body is sacred in the gay community, in the Latin community, in so many communities. This was an attack on the temple, on the sacred place. The psalm that we heard today, Psalm 139, was talking about this same idea, believe it or not. The psalmist, the writer of the Psalms, was writing in the time after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. The people to whom he was writing were living in exile, exiled not just from their homeland, but exiled from the place where they felt God, the temple in which they felt most connected to God, and they were exiled from that place. It was no longer there. It was no longer a safe place for them. The psalmist reassures them that God is there. Not only is God there, but you cannot hide from God. You can't get away, even if you want to. And to all of those people who were dancing that night at Pulse, and for every gay and lesbian establishment that is out there where people are going and dancing and experiencing creation, experiencing self-confidence, experiencing connection to one another, God is there. The people who dance the night away and make it to church, the people who dance the night away and would never consider coming to church, God is equally there. And those of us who are in bed by 9:30, God is there too. God says, I know you. I know you. I know everything about you. I know what you are thinking. I know what you are doing. I knit you together in the womb. I formed you. In the song, one of our praise songs we heard this morning, we hear the lyrics, I am brave, I am bruised. I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. That is God's gift to us. We are brave, we are bruised, we are damaged goods. God bless us for showing up. Because we show up. You know what? We are really good at showing up. We really are. The kids from the March for Our Lives needed a place to meet, needed some advice, needed some help, needed people to show up at their events, and we showed up. The day of Pulse, we were getting the news of it while we were in church, and that night we put on a vigil with thousands of people because we are good at showing up. We are good at bringing our broken, our damaged, our bruised selves, and knowing that we are holy, because we don't have to be perfect. We just have to be there. We have to love each other. We have to love the people we will never meet who will wear these shoes. And we are awesome at it. We, in this month of Pride, celebrate life. We celebrate who we are. We celebrate with our tears as we mourn all of those we have lost. And we celebrate the gift that when God knit us together in the womb, God called us into being. God called us to be gay or straight or lesbian or bisexual. God called us to be male, to be female, to be various places in between those two things. God called us to this path. It's not that we got all arrogant and decided, I'm going to change what God wants and I'm going to go against. No. God knew what God was doing when God made you. You, just how you are, made you to love the way you love, made you to embody your body just the way you do. And I don't care if you're wanting to lose 20 pounds or you hate something about your body, or you look in the mirror and you say, blah, I don't like how I look. God loves you. And you can find just the right clothes to make you look just the way you want. But you're not hiding anything from God, because God loves you just how you are, and you are perfect. During communion today, we're going to do a little ritual. Uh-oh. I'm excited. There's no glitter involved. But we're gonna have an embodied experience here, all right? It's going to involve coming up, having your communion. If you don't want to take communion, you can skip that part. And I invite you to to physically come to the back of the church after you have received communion. And you'll notice that we have a little rope hanging there with string, with pieces of cloth. And then on the tables there are some pieces of cloth. We're going to pray in all kinds of ways throughout June. And this is going to be part of our prayer. On that clothesline right now are the 49 names of those lost in the Pulse massacre. Each piece of cloth is a prayer. What's on each piece of cloth is a separate name. I invite you to take a cloth, take a Sharpie, write a word, a few words, write the name of someone you're praying for, something that you are grieving, something that you are celebrating, whatever it is that you need. Joyful, sad, somewhere in between. Whatever your prayer is, I invite you to put that on that piece of cloth. I'll be back there to help with instructions as well. And we're going to hang those prayers because we are creating a visual representation of our prayers. And no matter how it turns out, it will be perfect just like us, perfect in God's eyes. We are proclaiming the truth of God here today. We are proclaiming the truth that in the mess of our lives, in the grief, in the sadness, in the joy, in our brokenness, that God loves us. And just like Paul standing before the early church, justifying his place and reminding us in this church today that this is a fleeting moment. These bodies that carry us through this world are not meant to last, but one thing will last, and that is the light of Christ. And we here at MCC Tampa do a really good job of embodying that light. Thank you. Amen.